W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. President Biden on his way to Canada for a state dinner and meetings with Prime Minister Trudeau on NORAD, Ukraine, China, and more. Before he left,
we made history when the Affordable Care Act became law. We changed America. We gave millions of people peace of mind.
President Biden celebrating 13 years since the U.S. passed the Affordable Care Act. On Capitol Hill, lawmakers pressed the CEO of TikTok over security and content concerns. Philadelphia police say that four gunmen shot three teenagers using more than 60 rounds. Captain James Kearney.
These two 16-year-olds are in extremely critical condition right now. We're concerned about they're struggling for their life right now.
Police still searching for the suspects. Pennsylvania woman sentenced to 3 years in prison for storming the U.S. Capitol on January 6th and invading then-Speaker Pelosi's office. Prosecutors say Riley Williams encouraged others to steal Pelosi's laptop. This is ABC News. Anti-Semitic rhetoric surging to a record high in the United States.
It was a record-setting year for anti-Semitic incidents, something that's very troubling to the Anti-Defamation League. It says there were more than 3,600 recorded cases of anti-Semitism last year, a 36% increase from 2021. When you break it down, harassment incidents are up 29%, acts of vandalism up more than 50%, and physical assaults jumped 26%. Most troubling, a doubling of activity by organized white supremacist groups. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Hyundai and Kia recalling more than 570,000 SUVs and minivans over fire risk. Owners told to park outside because the tow hitch harness can collect water and short the circuits, starting a fire. That recall covers the Santa Fe Hybrid, Santa Fe Plug-in, the Santa Cruz, and Kia Carnival minivan. This weekend, an asteroid that's big enough to wipe out a city will zoom past Earth and the Moon. Andy Field, ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. The fines for reckless driving are about to double in Wisconsin. The Assembly passing a bill Wednesday that now goes to the governor. Currently, the highest fine is $200. This bill will increase it to $400. Lawmakers also approving a measure to make it easier to take cars away from reckless drivers. Governor Evers says he'll sign both. Wisconsin State Senate want the governor to hold a special election for Secretary of State. The resolution passed Wednesday now goes to the Assembly. Douglas Follett resigned from the post last week. The governor appointed former state treasurer Sarah Godlewski to the position. GOP Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue says, quote, the voters of Wisconsin deserve to have their voices heard, unquote. Democrat Kelda Roy says it's refreshing to hear Republicans say voters should have a say because that would mean fair maps. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Dear Hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
Latte.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. I'm here with Ogama and Zoe, and we got some guests coming on. And Ogama, as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And I should say this portion of the show is supported by MN350. They've been a really great organization and a longtime sponsor here at Native Roots Radio. So happy to have them as somebody supporting us. So today, Robert, we are talking about Prayer Ride 2023. And I wanted to take a few minutes to talk about that and our guest that will be coming on talking about that as well.
Right. And then later on, Robert Lilligren talking about some stuff that's happening all over here in the Twin Cities and Turtle Island. And I ran into Robert for a few moments at the Capitol a couple days ago. Great news for his organization. We'll be talking about that and some national things. Ogama, before we get going here, was I supposed to tell Zoe to say that this portion's brought to you by? Because I missed that. I think I missed that.
Oh, that's okay. I think we go with the flow. It's all good. I can save my own portion this time. That's okay.
Cool. And so one thing before you talk about the show a little bit before our guests come on, I just want to say that, one of the most bizarre things that are happening in our country here, meaning the United States, Ogama, is, we have the Republicans that are so anti-drag, trans, and all this, but they're not anti-guns in school. It's just wearing hard on me because I'm a former high school teacher, and I just wanted to say that to start out the program here, is that it's very upsetting that the other side of the table is really working smoke and mirrors with all these other things that don't matter, and we should really be taking care of some kind of gun control, or at least get the guns out of hands of people that should not have them. So I just had to say that in the top of the show.
That is something we could do an entire show about common sense gun control. a week long saga about, the problems with gun control and protecting our students and our young ones here in the U.S. and what a lot of other countries are able to do that we just won't seem to implement here. So it's something that honestly it's making me consider pulling my middle schooler and possibly sending her to online school or homeschool, because I'm worried for her safety.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, let's talk a little bit about the show. It looks like our guests are here, Ogama.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just going to briefly mute them as they get set up. Today, we are talking about Prayer Horse Ride 2023, which is a coming together ride for healing, strength, awareness, prayer, and unity in honor and remembrance of journalist Myron Dewey. To bring awareness to Pihi Maha, also known as Thacker Pass, and the lithium mine that was just recently put through by the federal government into that sacred area, to bring awareness for our missing and murdered Indigenous women and people, and to bring awareness to sacred places as well as protect Indigenous freedoms, and to bring awareness about a bombing range expansion at NAS Fallon. So tonight we have two wonderful guests, Josh Deeney from the Walker River Paiute Tribe and AIM Nevada member, alongside Gary McKinney from Duck Valley, who's also an AIM Nevada member. Welcome to you both. I'm going to unmute you if you're ready to speak, and let us know where you're at, where the ride started.
Hey, I just want to jump in, Ogama, real quick, and now I'm going to cough. Is that I just want to say, when I went to Standing Rock, the four or five times that I went out there, the first person I met was Myron, and he handed me didn't just hand me, but I had to fill out some paperwork to get a media pass at Standing Rock. So our hearts are out with the family and you guys. So welcome again to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Oh, thank you for having us on. It's an honor.
Yeah, it's our honor, too. It's our honor, too.
Coming to you from... from the outlaw Nevada Paiute territory. I come from Duck Valley. With me today is Joshua Deeney. I want to share some space with the brother and allow him to explain a little bit about the horse ride and where the vision comes from.
From Manahu, Joshua Deeney. I'm from the Walker River Paiute Tribe. Myron Dewey was my older brother, and we had many talks of this vision of our people. And, you know, we were in Standing Rock together. We did other land protection, food. You know, we protected our food source that was being cut down. And so my brother and I would always talk about how we would bring our communities together and, you know, how we could stand together. And so the vision kind of came from, or the idea kind of came from the Dakota 38 with the horses. Our original ways is running. That's how we got our messages across, was running from tribe to tribe. But we want to do something with the horses because as we evolved, we became, you know, very good horsemen, horse people. So my brother passed away 2021. And in honor of him, I wanted to continue that vision that we'd always talked about. And so we did our first prayer ride last year, last May. And our Paiute people are known as is known for the ghost dance. Our prophet Wovoka came from our area. We've always talked about our sacred sites and how nobody stands for them and protects the sacred site and our medicines and, you know, our tradition and our culture. And so we talked about those ways of how our prophet Wovoka was going around and he had of the ghost dance, of bringing people together so they could stand strong and take those sacred sites. And this is our second year. It's very, very amazing to see all the people that are here. I'm very proud. I know my brother is really proud. And we got a train coming, sorry. I think everybody that's out there.
I'm gonna pop you on mute for a minute till that train passes, and we'll talk a little bit about, the legacy of Myron Dewey, who's somebody, I unfortunately didn't get to meet your brother in person before he passed, but I know what he stood for, and some of the things that so many people credit Myron Dewey with, the reason that they do the work that they do. And I think that that is so important to recognize as well. You know, that legacy that he left for us is so many people doing that work.
Hey, Ogama, why don't we take a break here in a couple seconds here, and then we'll get back to these warriors and talk more. And we can get you to set up some of the things that they said if our listening audience didn't hear. So, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Your Blue Line Extension Project wants to hear from you. We are working on extending the Blue Line light rail into North Minneapolis, Robbinsdale, Crystal, and Brooklyn Park, and connecting it to our growing transit system. Tell us about your neighborhood, your business, your family, and what you need from your Blue Line. Learn more and share more of your story at yourblueline.org. That's yourblueline.org.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This segment of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, Ogama, we got some guests here, some real true warriors out here doing a good thing. Let's get them back on the air, and maybe you can reintroduce them now.
Getting them drivers, John.
Now you're muted, Ogama.
That's the kind of day we're having. Today we have John Dini from the Walker River Paiute Tribe and a member of AIM Nevada, as alongside Gary McKinney from Duck Valley and also an AIM Nevada member. And these two gentlemen have organized a prayer ride for 2023, a horse ride going through kind of the Southwest through Nevada. And this ride is in remembrance of Myron Dewey, but also to bring awareness to Pihi Maha, also known as Thacker Pass, which has been the site of an ongoing battle for protecting of sacred space against a lithium mine that the federal government unfortunately did not honor, and that mine has begun construction, which is just deeply hurtful. So welcome back, Josh and Gary. And if you don't mind letting our guests know where your ride started and where you're going to, how many miles is this?
Yeah, the ride started on my reservation, the Serge Walker River Paiute Tribe. We're hitting 6-7 communities in between. It's a 230-mile ride. And this ride is to bring awareness of the issues that we're facing here in Nevada. I'm not going to elaborate on the Pima. That's Brother Gary's piece there. But I will mention about the Bomber Range expansion, which it's known for, it's known as Top Gun Naval Air Station. Our tribe already agreed with the proposal. Our tribe was received money and land. Land amount was $8,375. The expansion of what they are now, what they are at now, is 535 acres more airspace and land space. I believe that this is the reason why my brother was killed, because the last live that he did was he was talking about the Bomber Range expansion and bringing them out, all the issues that was occurring. And so, you know, as a tribe, we face many issues because of our constitution and their loopholes that we have. And so our issue with us is the consultation that we have. You know, the companies that come in and they say they talk with one council member or one tribal member, and that's all they need to move forward with these mining or expansions or whatever they got going on, and they want to fast track it, so they, you know, don't consult with the community, which I feel that, you know, is very important, because a lot of people in our community knows the significant sites of our land, where those sacred sites are at, and, you know, the medicines and, you know, how we harvest them. And I just want to thank you guys for having us on, and that's my piece, and just thank you for your support.
Yeah, I just want to elaborate, if I can, really quickly, too, for some of our guests. Myron Dewey passed away in 2021 in a tragic accident, in a vehicle accident near Yamba, Nevada, and he was just 49. And there have been people who have called some attention to, you know, some of the supposed facts around his death, and what he was covering was that bombing range expansion, and you were alone by any means in your suspicions on that. And I didn't know Myron, but I knew what he was doing at that time, and I personally have my own suspicions. And you know, there's that danger when you're a Native person and you're a media person on top of it, depending on whose feathers you ruffle, what could happen. So Gary, if you wanted to share a little bit more about Pihimaha, I think that's what you were going to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for having us on. The Pihimaha, you know, first I'm going to introduce myself for those who don't know what's going on with the Thacker passing. I'll briefly get into that. My name is Gary McKinney. I'm from the Duck Valley Shoshone Paiute tribe. My mom is from the Fort McDermitt Paiute Shoshone tribe, and our tribes, the Duck Valley and the McDermitt tribe, we share a lot of the same history, a lot of the same sites. And it was only until the colonized times that, you know, we were set in boundaries and we were set inside these reservations. And ever since then, you know, we've been having this issue with being talked down to in a way, you know, and with this Thacker Pass thing, you know, from experiences that, you know, us as indigenous tribes need to be aware about what these foreign mining companies are up to. And we bring that information in a good way through this prayer and through each other and through unity and awareness. You know, we can no longer say that we never knew what was going on, because one thing that I've seen is that, you know, these extractive industries love to single out the tribes. And we've seen that happen with the Thacker Pass and the Fort McDermitt Paiute Shoshones. And, you know, all of us are in solidarity with many of these movements, many of these prayer circles around Turtle Island, and we're one of many. And with this Pihimaha thing, to get into the history, you know, the Pihimaha roughly translates to Rotten Moon, and it's part of an intertribal conflict. But then in the lawsuit, you hear in the papers, you'll see in the news about the September 12th, 1865 massacre, and the history that will describe is where our history meets the colonized history, with Wells Fargo Company and our tribes and our reservations, and there was a split. And earlier, you know, we heard a train come behind us, and that's part of where that transition happened, you know. And back then, that issue was that, you know, our tribes didn't have a lot of options, and the people back east, you know, they're the ones who come out here thinking that, you know, they know what's best for the tribes. But as people, as community members, you know, we need to make each other aware. And in these times, you know, the vision that the brother Myron had and his brother Josh, you know, is something that goes back generations, to where we had runners that went from village to village to go spread that message that, hey, you know, there's something coming, be aware. And so after that split, after the reservation, all that stuff, you know, those things were no longer allowed, and we were given little things, you know, in return. But, you know, dude, we need to know our rights. We need to know these things that are out there. You know, we need to be aware. And in this way, we're walking in those footsteps that our ancestors walked, you know, and we want to carry this forward, sort of like, you know, let me tell you about my dreams, not my nightmares. And so right now is we're in the point where it's all about the youth, and it's all about spreading that message to our young people, and how we're going to take a stance against these extraction industries, because us as Native people, as caretakers of the land, it's our responsibility to look after those things, and those are our instructions. Those are the teachings that we carry, and it's an honor to be in this circle that we're in today, because there's a lot that, you know, we have young people, we have our elders, and we have our runners, and today is a good day, because, you know, we started out, it was snowing and it was windy, but once we got out to where we were going to start running, you know, it opened up and it turned blue skies. And yeah, so right now that's where we're at. That's a little bit about the Pihimaha and anything else. Just ask.
Oh. Yeah. Well, we're closing in on just the last minute of this segment, and I wanted to take a moment too to let people know that you can follow Prayer Horse Ride 2023 on social media, on Facebook. They're live now for their day six with an update, and they've got really great drone footage of the runners and the horses and the group as they are carrying on through the cold and the wind and the snow in Nevada. And, you know, our prayers are with you and Oak Flat and all of the things that you are there and standing for. We have many similar fights all over the nation. Here in Minnesota, the Ojibwe and Dakota have similar fights. So, Miigwech, for you for joining us, and we hope to get an update when you arrive at Pihimaha.
I'd like to mention one more thing, if I can. I just want to let everybody know that, you know, we're having a pre-trial for my brother's court, April 11th. is going to be at the Tonopah District Court. And I encourage everybody to call in and get on the Zoom and show the support. The man that had killed my brother still hasn't seen the inside of a jail cell. He wants to do a plea deal.
Okay.
But we don't want to do a plea deal. We want, you know, we want accountability.
Oh. Oh. All right. Hey, we'll be right back. Thanks, you guys. We're going to check in again with you later. This is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Take care of your community by joining Metro Transit's Adopt a Stop program. Show your community pride by adopting a transit stop. Join us in helping keep the stop and your neighborhood beautiful and report any maintenance needs to us. We'll put a sign at the stop recognizing your efforts. Plus, you'll get 10 free rides every month. Get details at metrotransit.org/adopt. Again, adopt a stop for Metro Transit.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
The Senior Linkage Line is a free statewide service of the Minnesota Board on Aging in partnership with Trellis. I have volunteered with seniors nearly 15 years, working alongside their compassionate team. I am honored to partner with Trellis as we help our elders find housing, compare costs of Medicare prescriptions, and learn how to avoid fraud and scams targeting seniors. We help our elders optimize well-being as they age, and we can help you too. Reach out today at trellisconnects.org.
It's an absolute must for any true foodie. Vinaigrette at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis offers premium oils and vinegars for the most discriminating of tastes. This is Sarah Piepenberg, owner of Vinaigrette. We bottle on-site, there's no guesswork, and you get to taste test each and every oil and vinegar we offer. Our direct relationship with the growers ensures an uncompromised level of satisfaction. When you need to know you're cooking with the finest ingredients, first contact the independently owned Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Hey, this is Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Join me and Desi Doyen weeknights on AM 950. 1 hour of interviews, analysis, news, and snark that you need but won't get from the corporate media. Join me for the Bradcast, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. on AM 950.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for clear skies tonight with a low around 17, Friday sunny with a high near 45, and Saturday partly sunny with a high around 43. Cafe Latte is a hot spot for American eats and house-made desserts in a cafeteria-style setup plus a pizza and wine bar. Cafe Latte believes ingredients matter, so that's why they never use artificial flavors, colors, or preservatives. Dine in at the restaurant off Victoria and Grand at St. Paul or place a takeout order at cafelatte.com.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute.
Hey, what a coincidence. Hey, we are here with Robert Lilgren, the CEO of Native American Community Development Institute. And Robert, welcome. I saw you at the Capitol. Things are happening. Yeah. A lot of excitement. Great to have you on. Maybe we can start out and talk a little bit about that and then talk some national politics after that, maybe in the next segment. Welcome.
Yeah, bonjour. Bonjour, Robert. Bonjour. Comment? So good to be here. It seems like it's been a while. You've had so much going on. It's been really rich programming here. And so I guess you had to go a little deeper on the bench tonight with me.
Yeah. Well, you're always our, I always enjoy, and I know people listen to our conversations and, you know, we are excited to have you here and really excited about what's happening here in Minnesota with, the 16 organizations and
right,
our own Mary Kunis.
Oh yeah, Senator Kunis. Yeah, so you're talking about that what we call the Urban Indian Legacy Initiative, or UILIULE, and it's a very collaborative and sort of indigenized way of 16 organizations coming together to seek significant capital investments into our facilities here in the urban Indian community. And, you know, we've been around since many of these were founded by what I call our founders, the sort of founders of AIM generation, and they're old. A lot of them were never buildings that were in great shape. They're leaky, they're dangerous in some cases. And so we're trying to attract sufficient capital investment from the state in our facilities. And it's been really a trip. And it was great seeing you at the rally on the Capitol. I thought that went really well. And Robert, were you there for the press conference earlier in the day as well?
No, I was running around doing some lobbying myself, as you know, so before Thank that. You. But but I heard it was great. And I saw the preview of that. And
Yeah, it was great. There was a lot of media interest, and it's just an example of a couple of things that I think are really positive about the community here. And one of them is that it's Native driven, right? This is us steering our narrative and us being clear about what we want and what we need from our state legislature. The collaborative nature of this is really amazing. And this is our second time around bringing these asks to the Capitol, and this effort builds on, I'd say about a decade now, of real intention amongst the urban Indian orgs here in the Twin Cities to kind of throw off that yoke of colonization that encourages us to view each other as competitors, and distrustful, and to really join together in an indigenous way and support each other. And so last time we came, we had prioritized our projects. We made the strategic decision this time around, this session, not to do that. And it's, we're taking this sort of all or nothing approach. And the attitude is we're not going to let the legislature divide us, And right. So we've been holding strong in the conversation amongst the organizations is amazing as we try to figure out how not to get picked off one by one and things like that. And I just really want to thank a couple of younger emerging leaders, or they're not really emerging anymore, but Dr. Joe Hobot of the American Indian OIC, right here on the American Indian Cultural Corridor in Minneapolis, and then Marissa Cummings at the Minnesota Indians Resource Center. And she's the chair of our Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, our regional leadership organization. And they and some of the other Native leaders here have just really been putting their shoulder, their nose to the grindstone and getting people, just keeping us moving. It's just amazing to see. What did you think of the rally, Robert?
I love the rally. One of the things, we played the governor's speech, and him and the lieutenant governor, I can't believe how well of speakers they are without any cards or anything. He spoke for 6 minutes, mm-hmm. and he hit almost every point, And I thought that was amazing.
It is amazing. And I really was impressed by the two young speakers at the rally that spoke about their own experience with all of these organizations, the impact that these organizations had on them and their families. And it was just, they were great. It just really does my heart well when I see young emerging voices like that in our community.
Absolutely. And one of the points that I always like to hear, and that's the way it should be, is one of the young warriors that spoke, she spoke about using these, getting help from these organizations, and now she's working for one of the organizations, you know, 10 years later.
Right, right. I thought that was really something. And, you know, when we're talking about the impacts of colonization, forced assimilation, genocide, it's not something that you can fix in a day, right? It's something that might take a generation to fix or something. And I thought that young sister's story was so powerful. And she talked about her experience as a little girl.
Right.
When a house fire rendered their family homeless. I think they had benefited from maybe half a dozen of the organizations she referenced, and things like job training and job placement and all these other sort of asset-based approaches. It was really impressive. And now she's working for one of the orgs. And I just thought that's that generational kind of cadence that really brings me hope. And I connected with her afterward. I've never met her before. And so I was really happy to meet her, look forward to supporting her, promoting her. She was quite a speaker.
Yeah, we'll have to get her on, because what's really fun is I've known her as a younger person, kind of powwows, okay, and always say hi and kind of joke around. But then, and I ate lunch too with her prior to the 1 o'clock meeting. And we were just, you know, joking around. And it's just like, next thing I know, she's up there, you know, talking to hundreds and hundreds of people about her life experience. Yeah. It's like, wow.
So. Yep, and talking beautifully, both those young speakers. The second brother, I think he was from Red Lake, and I think his remarks were very powerful. And he told his story, and you know, and then was really open and upfront about his journey away from, you know, a journey to sobriety.
Right.
And I thought that was really, really something, and that he's. And then he talked about what he does for a living now, where he is a peer support specialist.
Right.
Helping others on their recovery, their roads to recovery. And he talked about how that reinforces his own sobriety, which I thought was really profound. And that you could just hear in his voice how proud he was of the work that he's doing. And that really moved me too.
The longer you give it away to keep it, the longer you'll stay sober. And it was good to hear him say that, and you could feel it in his words. And it's cool too, because he's more able to help somebody that's struggling right now than somebody like me with 38 years of sobriety. I mean, people can see 5 years or talk to a young person, right. How did you do it? And it's like, oh, you're old. You probably didn't have you drink too much cough syrup or something, you know.
But, I mean, your point is well taken. Then the very next day, I was in a regular community meeting we have planning, putting strategies together to support our relatives who are living unsheltered, living without shelter, and who are struggling with opioid use. This is a meeting that's been after 3 years, continuously through COVID and everything. And we work on short-term, mid-term, long-term strategies. And we had someone from a huge healthcare provider here who's putting together a pilot project funded by the state health department. And they need that direct community interface. So they really found it in this group that we have meeting. But one of the big things that lifted up, again, they're doing it at White Earth Urban Office, is this peer support and peer navigation. Wow. And just how important that is. And as we know, a Native person is going to respond so much better to another Native.
You know, or a Native ally too, because Wendy, when Wendy worked in at the University of Minnesota, and I just got to tell this story for her, and I think you've probably even heard it, is that, you know, she would have somebody come in that just found out they had some problems going on, and she would ask them what nation they were with, and then they kind of perked up, and then she would say, my husband's Ho-Chunk, and it knocked down a lot of walls. But to see somebody that looks like you is an amazing thing for knocking walls down.
And, you know, you mentioned, referenced the governor's speech and talking for 6 minutes, and he hit all the right points, like you said. But then also sort of outside of that, that ecosystem, you know, he's really pushing things to the national dialogue, and with this trifecta of Democrats that control our state, both our houses and our governor's office, those guys are tearing it up. And they're governing for efficiency and always lifting up these, what Democratic leadership can do for lives in a state. And Michigan's kind of moving into that. And as we move into 2024, that's going to be powerful messages.
You know, the other message too is what they were saying about that people are watching us in Minnesota and what we're doing. And I think you're kind of alluding to that, but that was powerful. That was said a few times during the day.
And if you look generationally, right back to the founders, the founding of AIM, the founding of our agencies, the real establishment of a fairly visible urban Indian community here. And so now what do we do? And so we were leading, you know, in activism and advocacy. And so now sort of next gen, right, we're getting into the systems, infiltrating, changing the rules to benefit us more. And I agree that not a lot of this is happening in other communities, some is, but in the urban community, there are just specific challenges to getting this kind of unity and collaboration.
Exactly. Hey, Robert, we got another segment with you, and we'll be talking. Well, we can finish up on this because there's a lot more to talk about. Exciting, hearing the drum, and hearing Clyde Belcourt's name again, and his son was there. Just a lot of great things that happened. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute. We'll be right back. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Take care of your community by joining Metro Transit's Adopt a Stop program. Show your community pride by adopting a transit stop. Join us in helping keep the stop and your neighborhood beautiful and report any maintenance needs to us. We'll put a sign at the stop recognizing your efforts. Plus, you'll get 10 free rides every month. Get details at metrotransit.org/adopt. Again, adopt a stop for Metro Transit.
Native American rights are on the ballot April 4th. Vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz. She values Wisconsin's tribes as sovereign nations and recognizes Native rights with fairness and integrity. Judge Janet understands the importance of issues such as missing and murdered Indigenous women, treaty rights, and hunting and gathering. We deserve someone that knows these things matter. In-person early voting begins March 21st. Check your municipality's early voting schedule at vote.wisdoms.org or call the Voter Protection Hotline at 608-336-3232. You can register to vote at the polls on Election Day with a photo ID and proof of residence. Your tribal ID can be used as a photo ID to vote. Stand up for your people. Vote for someone who will stand up for you and stand up for Native rights. Vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz for Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Paid for by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin as an in-kind to Janet for Justice.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, I noticed you took your glasses off to howl, Robert. That was very sacred. Hey, I'm here with Robert Lilligren of the CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. Minneapolis and on the Native corridor in Minneapolis, discussing the great things and the momentum that the urban initiative here has going on, named after Clyde Belcourt. And it's a long time coming, and it's a good thing. And it was really good to hear from Clyde's son, too.
Agreed. That was really meaningful. So the, you know, here we've been looking for different ways to honor Clyde Belcourt, his wife Peggy, who both walked on fairly recently. And there's been a lot going on, and there's still a lot of conversation about ways to make sure that we're honoring Clyde, Peggy, and really this whole founding generation. But we, the Urban Indian Legacy Initiative is named for Clyde Belcourt. So it's the Clyde Belcourt Urban Indian Legacy Initiative. And then his son was there to speak, and it was so powerful and very emotional. It was very emotional because it wasn't that long ago that Clyde walked on, and so it's still right. Very, very fresh. But that generational through line, I think it's so important to lift up.
Yeah, really, and it's really good. And we were talking about before the last segment ending how important it is to have the drum there and our singers, that gets emotional, but for many different reasons for many different people.
Right, and you know, so I have this place that I always park when I go to the Capitol. It's a little bit of a ways away, so you're a few steps in. But it's always been my kind of spot. And so as I was walking toward the Capitol, I could hear that drum from blocks and blocks away. And it's just like, yeah, I'm coming. It was like calling me in. I'm sure lots of others. It was out in the sort of, what do you call those, porticos or whatever, the entry part of the Capitol. Our Capitol is gorgeous and huge. And right. So there's this big open space, and the sound was just blasting out over the mall. And mm-hmm. it was moving.
Well, and you know, there's a lot of stuff going on at the Capitol, too, that has to do with Native Americans directly or indirectly, too. And that's been exciting to see, whether it's the new bill for our own Minnesota ICWA bill that was passed, which is huge, especially with the scary stuff with the Supreme Court coming, Robert.
Right. I think it's putting ICWA protections in place at the state level in case ICWA is overturned at the federal level, overturned by the Supreme Court. And, you know, once again, Senator Mary Cornish is leading the charge. We have our wonderful Native caucus there. I'm trying to remember how many it is now, 5 or 6 women strong that are pushing these things. And so it demonstrates the importance of having that place at the table, of being some of our people being willing to go into these really unwelcoming spaces, and then we as a community supporting them. And I think that I'm trying to remember what they call the bill, the Minnesota ICWA bill, but it's I think it only had one dissenting vote in the Senate or something like that, which is amazing, and it really think shows the strength of our Native representation at the Capitol.
Absolutely. And you've probably in all the committees that you are, and we've joked about how many you're in, but you're always teaching. You're always teaching about Native Americans, and people want to know, and people, you know, want to be allies, and they want to do things in a good way. Mm-hmm. So it's important to be out there like you are. Mm-hmm.
Thanks. That's very kind, Robert. And I just had a great opportunity this last week. So I serve as an officer of our city, Minneapolis's Convention and Visitors Association, that does destination management. And it's kind of it focuses a lot on downtown, but it's really for the whole city. But it's sort of the downtown people, right? The shakers and movers. And we had our annual meeting last week. And we unveiled our land acknowledgement for the first time, and it's a good one, but my point is always, you know, land acknowledgements, great step, great awareness building, and then what? What's the action? What's the plan? And so I was invited to speak. We opened the event with a song. We had a young Dakota brother, Austin Owen, who honored us with a song, and it was wonderful. And then our outgoing chair read the land acknowledgement for the first time in public. And then I was invited to speak, and I was given, mm-hmm. Whatever, 3-4 minutes. And I kept checking with the leadership and everything. I'd be like, okay, this is what I'm going to say. Is that okay? Is that okay? Mm-hmm. And so I really was able to lay it down in an authentic way and just say, talk about everyone's responsibility to do something to address the trauma of colonization, genocide. I got to use, words like genocide at lunchtime, And I thought I was going to be really heavy. I was expecting to hear some gasps in the crowd and stuff. But the response across the board, Native, non-Native, people really appreciated it. And, our theme was shake it up and authentic conversations. And it ended up being just the right way to start the annual meeting and to educate people, right? There are people that don't know anything about that,
About
the history.
Well, it's interesting. I think, a lot of organizations are trying, the Cleveland baseball team changed their name. And then with big pressure, the Washington football team changed their name. We have our store, store at the Twins game all season this year. And so, but that's another of a little opening in the crack of the door to have us step through in a good way.
Right. That's your exact. And that's, it's not just happening, accidentally, right? This has been years and years of strategy, of aligning messages, of Native people deliberately reclaiming their narrative. But and I think one of the points I made when I spoke to this annual meeting, it's like 550 influencers from downtown Minneapolis, and was that, Native people know what we want, we can steer our narrative, and then the broader community needs to hear that and act. And I lifted up the name change Epidemic Hoska here in Minneapolis, that was formerly named after a slaveholder, it was kind of odious, and there was a big movement that launched in the Native community, really centered around descendants of the people that used to live on the shores of that lake. But then the broader community heard that and responded and acted. And so the name got changed. It was a multi-year process, but now it's Epidemic Hoska. Everyone knows how to pronounce it.
Right. It took me a little bit. My old junior high here in St. Paul was changed, Robert, to from Ramsey, because we live in Ramsey County, which is the same thing with Calhoun, except I heard it would cost so much to change the name of a county. But they changed the name of my junior high to Hidden River Junior High. It's amazing. So inch by inch, things are happening and in a good way. And we just got to keep amplifying and speaking up and putting forth the women and our young ones to speak for us, too.
That's it, exactly. A little bit of work, and we've talked about this before, that my organization has been doing is down in the Central Riverfront in the city of Minneapolis. This very desirable little area that helps define Minneapolis. We grew up around the falls that the city was. And of course, there were thousands of years of history there beforehand. And so the leadership of this effort were committed to putting this whole project under Native control. Hopefully it'll end up with the land going under Native control. And just in the last few months, there's been a transfer. The organization's board, which was some of the richest people in Minneapolis, is now a majority Native. The new CEO of the organization is Shelley Buck, who is an elected official in the Prairie Island community. She's vice president of the tribe. And she's working right in this place. And so that was our work, was to get it to that point, to set that table. And now we'll see where it goes. Now that really is under Native control.
Great update as always, Robert. Pini Gigi for being on. We'll see you next week, and I'll see you in the community, which is always awesome to see you running around just like I am. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance.
Earn, play, and win at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. Rewards Club members can earn up to $155 rewards play and $5 to use at Whitetail Crossing or to grab a bite to eat at the Swiftwater Lounge. Guests may start earning points on your Rewards Club card 7 a.m. through 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. till midnight every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nacoosa. Become an off-road warrior with Ho-Chunk Gaming Nacoosa. Now until March 25th, guests can earn entries for one of the grand prize drawings on February 25th, March 11th, and March 25th. All you need to do is earn 25 points to receive $10 rewards play and an entry up to four times a day. One grand prize winner will win a gift certificate to Power Pack Sports and Equipment in Marshfield for a Polaris ATV or UTV, with six consolation winners being drawn to win a scooter cooler or up to $500 cash. For complete contest rules and to see the rides in person, visit the Rewards Club booth. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor. Ho-Chunk Gaming Nacoosa, your place to play.